Good morning, everyone. Wish to greet you all in the precious name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be gathered together with you all here. We're from, as most of you know, from Pine Creek Church, which is in the little town of Wellsboro in Tioga County, Pennsylvania, a little bit east of here. We had a nice drive this morning and drove through some rain. It was a blessing to see the showers from heaven, and it's a blessing to be here this morning with you all. I was really blessed by the service already this morning, some of the songs that we sang. Church of Christ, awake, arise. That thought fits in with the theme of the burden on my heart this morning. Are we awake? Every one of us prepared for worship this morning. We got out of bed, we got dressed, maybe washed our hair, brushed our teeth. I trust reflected on the Word of God, the Sunday school lesson, maybe said, took some time for prayer. And we prepared to go to worship in the house of the Lord. And that's the thought that's on my heart this morning that I'd like to share with you all. You can turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 12. The title of the message is simply A Prepared Heart. As I was reading through the Old Testament here in my personal devotions, I'm not sure, it was several months ago, and reading through Chronicles, you have the ups and downs in the life of, or the kings of the children of Israel and Judah. And this king did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And this king did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And it was ups and downs. There was progress made that was good and right, and then it was backwards, and it was just constantly up and down. And in chapter 12 here, there was a phrase in verse 14 that just really caught my attention. This was in the setting of Rehoboam being established into the kingdom of Israel. And it says that in verse 1 that he established the kingdom and he strengthened himself, but it says, and he forsook the law of the Lord. And all Israel with him. Then it talks about the little incident there with Shishak, king of Egypt, coming and warring against Jerusalem. And it goes on to say how God was going to judge them because of the evil that they were doing, but then they humbled themselves when, I believe it was in verse 7, that the word of the Lord came to them through Shemaiah, and they humbled themselves before God, and God spared them. But then in verse 14, he continued to do evil, and it says, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And that's what that is the burden on my heart this morning. That is the phrase that really caught my attention with this message. Brothers and sisters, do we have a prepared heart? Prepared to seek the Lord. Are our hearts prepared to seek the Lord? That's the first point I'd like to think about a little bit. If we go on in this journey in Chronicles here, in 2 Chronicles 17, first of all, in verse 3, it says that Jehoshaphat, the Lord was with him because he walked in the first ways of David, his father David, and sought not unto Balaam. So here was a different king. Jehoshaphat was doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He walked in the ways of David, his father. And it says in verse sorry, I lost the verse, but it was because he sought the Lord, he was seeking the Lord, that God was with him. Thank you. But sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Again, he prepared to seek the Lord. And then on in chapter 19, in verses 1-3, this is still about Jehoshaphat. Leading up to this point, he had some shortcomings and some failures. But then he made an alliance with Ahab, the wicked king of Israel. But then in verse 3, when Jehu came to him, he challenged him about this. But he said, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." Jehoshaphat had prepared his heart to seek God. He wasn't perfect. He made mistakes, but he had prepared his heart to seek God, and that was his guidance. In Ezra, we could look at some verses in Ezra chapter 7. He had requested from Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, to be able to go to Jerusalem. This was after their bondage in Babylon, and he wanted to go to Jerusalem. And he requested and was granted permission from the king to be able to make this journey. And it says that God was with him. And then in verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Again, God was with him because he had prepared his heart to seek the Lord. If we consider this phrase, prepared to seek, there's two words that stood out to me that I looked in the Hebrew translation. First of all, prepared carries the thought in the Hebrew language to stand up. It carries the thought to be or make yourself ready, to establish, to fasten, to be fixed, to be stable, to stand up and be or make yourself ready and establish your faith. That is what it means to be prepared. And then the word seek carries the thought of to follow, for pursuit or to search. It carries a thought to worship, to diligently inquire, to ask or to search. Brothers and sisters, is your heart fixed or set on following God? Do you diligently inquire what God wants you to do? That phrase, or that song this morning that we sang, the verse, "Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow." Is that our heart's desire? Are we prepared to seek the Lord? The next point I'd like to think about is more along the lines of a spiritual preparation. And simply the phrase, prepared for the Lord, is what I'd like to focus on. Are we prepared for the Lord? In Luke chapter 1, and in verse 17, when the angel of the Lord came to Zacharias and spoke to him about his son, John the Baptist, who was to be born, and it says his calling for John the Baptist in verse 17 in Luke chapter 1, says, "And he shall go before him," that's talking about John the Baptist going before Jesus, "in the spirit and power of Elijah," or Elias, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So John the Baptist's calling was to make ready a people that are prepared for the Lord. And this involved turning the hearts of the fathers to their children. Parents who are concerned about the spiritual well-being of their children. We're going to have more on that a little later here. It involved to make ready a people who are prepared for the Lord, which included causing those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. That was John the Baptist's calling and preparing a people for the Lord. He called people to repentance, into a right relationship with God, prepared them for the way of the Lord Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, let's read a few verses here, actually. You can turn there if you wish. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll start in at verse 15. Some familiar verses. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And their word will eat as it doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold, of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." We'll stop there. Prepared unto every good work is the phrase that stood out to me in this. To be prepared for the Lord, we must, as it says in verse 21, we must purge out, get rid of the things that are impure in our lives. The impure thoughts. The things that we look at on our phone. The music that we listen to. Get rid of those things that are impure. And in verse 16, shun profane and vain babblings. Again in verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. To be prepared unto every good work, we must shun or avoid false teachings. And it's all around us, brothers and sisters. There's lots of podcasts and so forth that we can listen to, and some of them may be good. But focus your study right here in the Word of God. Shun and or avoid false teachings. To be prepared unto every good work, in verse 19, we must, at the end there, it says, those that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We must depart from iniquity. Turn away from sin. And in verse 22, flee or run from youthful lusts. The things that please the flesh, run from them. Think of the example of Joseph. He left so fast, he left his coat behind. Flee useful lust. To be prepared for the Lord. In verse 15, we must study or work hard to live a life that God approves of. It doesn't come natural. It goes against our carnal nature. But we must study or work hard to live a life that God would approve of. In verse 21, it talks about, if a man therefore purge himself from thee, These he shall be a vessel unto honor and sanctified, meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. We must be prepared or ready to do the work that God calls us to. And in verse 22, we need to follow peace and righteousness. Follow means pursue. We need to pursue righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. And also, it says, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. To be prepared for the Lord, we must have close relationship with those who are sincerely living for the Lord. Your close friends will influence you. Choose them wisely. Be prepared for the Lord. The next thought I'd like to share is preparing for temptations. I don't think we'll turn there, but in Daniel 1, verse 8, we have the familiar verse that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. Daniel had decided that no matter what happens, he is not going to defile himself. He had that resolve in his heart. He purposed it in his heart. You know, if we're going to keep from giving in to temptations, we must decide ahead of time that we're not going to go against God's standard of holiness. We can't wait till we're faced with the temptation to make that decision. It must be decided and settled in our hearts before we face temptation that we're going to uphold God's standard of holiness. That must be our resolve. And yes, we're human, and we may falter at times. But to be successful in facing temptations, we have to have that commitment in our hearts. In Luke chapter 4, in verses 1 to 13, it gives the account of Jesus facing temptation. What did he encounter Satan with? The scriptures, the Word of God. He focused on the Word of God when Satan presented him with all these temptations. Read the Word of God. Study it. Memorize it. Like David said in Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." If we carry it in our heart, memorize it, it will help us in the hour of temptation. There's much more that we could say on that. We're going to continue on. Another thought, considering a prepared heart, is being prepared for a crisis. I don't have a lot to share on this. Every person, I'm sure, has their own experiences that they could relate to. But I had to think of Job. You know, he lost his possessions, his children, and even his health. And his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" But he refused. His friends even judged him and said that God is punishing him for his sins. And yet he said this, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." He did not waver in his faith. In the middle of crisis, Job recognized that God is sovereign and that God is just. I know this is easier said than done, but even in the midst of a crisis, when we don't understand our circumstances, we can rest in the fact that God does. God understands. And God is never wrong. God is always right, and he's sovereign. And I think of the verse in Romans 8, that he works all things together for good to them that love God. Never lose sight of that. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I'd like to focus a little bit on the thought of preparing our children. And I want to say right up front that I am far from perfect in this. We all make mistakes. I know I have done my share of them. But parents, we are called to prepare our children for the Lord. In Proverbs 22, well, there's many verses that we're going to just read off in Proverbs here. But in 22 verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." To train up a child, it takes effort. It takes wisdom from God. It takes love and patience. And it takes a prepared heart. You know, even though they may not always appreciate or accept it, what we teach our children will always go with them. And a testimony that I'd like to share from a mother. She said, "Don't ever stop praying for your children." She told about her son. After 40 years of praying for her son, she got the call one day from him and he said, "Mom, I gave my heart to Jesus." 40 years. She said, "Don't ever stop praying for your children." Proverbs 23:26. "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Parents, win the hearts of your children. Be an example that they can follow. So many times our own carnal nature gets in the way of this, but never stop trying and growing and preparing your children. Proverbs 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." That means chasteneth him time and time again. Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." 23 verses 13 and 14, "Withhold not correction from a child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." And in 29 verse 15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." And verse 17, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." Parents, love your children. Win their hearts. Be an example and discipline them. Discipline is not fun, and it's not easy, but it's a vital part of preparing our children. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come to me." And he took them up in his arms and held them. Do we follow Jesus' example? To take the time to sit and talk and listen, especially thinking of the little children. How many times I've failed in this. In the busyness of life and our responsibilities, especially thinking of you fathers, take the time to sit and listen to your children. Talk to them. thinking of preparing our youth. I'm still learning my way through this. But some thoughts that just came to me is teach them to be responsible. Teach them responsibility as they grow up. Sometimes it means maybe a job that you enjoyed, you give them responsibility to do. Maybe sometimes it means the work will go slower than it would do if I would just do it myself, but give them responsibility. Teach them to accept the fact that life isn't always fair. And that's okay. Well, this person gets to do this, that's okay. Life isn't always fair. Teach them to be a good sport. Teach them that the world does not revolve around me. We need to learn that ourselves first to be able to teach them. And teach them that God must be in the center of our lives. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." To the youth, make your strengths available to God while you can. Youth is a vibrant time of life. Serve the Lord with a heart that is prepared to do whatever He calls you to do. I'd like to think a little bit about being prepared for old age. I don't feel like I'm able to speak this from experience, but just a few thoughts that I'd like to share from a testimony from a man who spent, I believe, about 2 months in a nursing home as a resident there. And these are some lessons that he learned while he was there and relating to the folks in the nursing home. Number one, loneliness is the greatest disease. There are many illnesses that he saw in the nursing home, many disabilities, but the worst disease is loneliness. His challenge was to build and cherish relationships while you can. Number two, health is more valuable than wealth. He spoke of men who were in there that had major corporations, big into business, very wealthy. And they were to a point where their own body wouldn't respond the way they wanted to. Health is more valuable than wealth. Number three, material things lose their meaning. They don't last forever. Think of Solomon and his phrase, "All was vanity." Number four, independence is precious. The ability to get up and move around and walk. Don't take it for granted. Number five, true happiness comes from simple things. A cup of coffee and a good relationship, good talk with a close friend. Just some time pulling weeds in the garden, mowing the yard. Simple things are precious. True happiness comes from simple things. Number six, forgiveness brings peace. And he spoke of various people that he met there who didn't ever get visits from their children because they couldn't get along with them. Or they had a spouse that they were holding a grudge against, but their spouse was now gone. And they were still holding that grudge. Forgiveness brings peace. Number seven, every day is a gift, so don't waste it. Every day is a gift. Make the most of it. I'd like to close with a few thoughts on preparing for the future. And perhaps this is maybe my greatest burden this morning, is that we are people with a prepared heart, prepared for the future. In Luke chapter 12, you can turn there. I'd like to read a few verses coming from Jesus. Luke chapter 12, I think we'll start at verse 13. And it says, in one of the company, this was the multitude or the crowd that Jesus was speaking to, said to Jesus, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." The value of a person is not in his material possessions. He said to them, "The ground of a certain rich man," he told them this story, this parable, "it brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Brothers and sisters, our primary concern should not be a big retirement plan. Now, I'm not going to condemn looking ahead in the future and setting funds aside to prepare for a time when we may not be able to work and earn a living anymore. I don't feel like there's anything wrong with it. But sometimes I feel like we can get our priorities mixed up. Our primary concern is preparing for a future home in heaven. Are we laying up treasures in heaven or on earth? We don't know when our time will be up. Just recently, in our neighborhood, there was a 15-year-old boy called home. He was swimming and he drowned, and that was it. His time was up. He had given his heart to the Lord. He had gone through instruction class and was anticipating baptism. And God said, "Your time is up. Your work on earth is done." 15 years old. Are you ready for the future? Thinking of preparing for the future, are we prepared for the return of the Lord? We don't know when that will be. Are you ready to meet him when Jesus returns? Matthew 24, verse 44, we have the phrase, "Be ye also ready." Matthew 25, 10, "They that were ready went in." Talking about the 10 virgins, the five that were ready went in to meet the bridegroom. Jesus' words in Mark chapter 13, "Take ye heed, watch and pray. Watch ye therefore, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." These are words from Jesus. "What I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch." Are we watching? Are we awake? Luke 12, verses 35 to 36, some phrases, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and wait for their Lord." Brothers and sisters, are you spiritually awake and ready? We don't know when that moment will be. But are we ready? Are we prepared? I don't think we'll take the time to read this chapter, but I'd encourage you to read 2 Peter chapter 3. But in verse 14 it says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." And then in verse 17, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." I'd like to close with Paul's words in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to invite you to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verses 7 and 8. Paul knew that his time on earth was coming to a close. He was nearing the end of his course. And my prayer this morning, my burden is that we can say with Paul, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Brothers and sisters, are we prepared for that day? Let's kneel for prayer.